This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to have back in studio our friend Paul Dowding. Water Pros, 303-862-5554. You can check them out at waterpros.net. Hey, we all need water. Paul, how are you?
Hey, good morning or good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, man, good to see you again. How's business been?
We're grateful, you know. Yeah. We're keeping busy, and I'm just very fortunate, and you know, especially in today's time.
No,
so,
no
yeah,
doubt.
We're doing really, really well.
Good deal. All right, we're going to try to focus on some different topics when Paul is in. A lot to talk about with water. And kind of, Paul, we were just discussing here before we came on air here. I heard recently that about 83% of our water here in our state comes from snowmelt. It would not take long for us to be in trouble, would it?
No, not at all. And I think if you watch the news, a lot of our reservoirs are low, but it's because our water needs are higher based upon the growth in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to realize if you have multiple agencies drawing from the same water source and they're dumping it back in, right, then technically it's reusable water.
Wow.
So, you know, it's something that we really need to, you know, ask the water district, you know, and ask questions, where does my water come from?
Mm-hmm. We may not want to know.
Right?
We may not want to know.
You know, if the folks that live in town and you pay for your water, you know, you have a right to get the water report. And so you can, you know, be proactive. You know, I'm sure they're supposed to post it online, go to the website and read and see what, you know, what kind of contaminants
sure
are there.
Right. We're going to help out the folks today a little bit more probably. Talk about well water for a little bit. Hey, a lot of people in Colorado have well water. So kind of just maybe talk about the initial differences of difference from city into well and
right.
issues there's, that y'all get into.
So there's a lot of folks that are, you know, buying homes and moving to the rural areas, out east especially, right? A lot of growth out there, right? In Kingsburg, Kiowa, you know, Watkins, Bennett. And so when you get well water, you know, people expect moving from town, you know, the water to be, you know, clean, pristine, and that's just not the case. And so, you know, there's issues of hardness, acidity, and iron content. It's called ferrous iron or clear water iron, and that's what stains your clothes and causes, you know, water to have, you know, a taste or odor issue. And so we, you know, we focus on helping, you know, people with those kind of problems. And realtors, we're also finding, and we recommend realtors and to also, you know, point out, you know, get the water tested. Because you don't want folks to have, you know, become disappointed to have an unexpected issue. And then
sure.
they're saying, hey, you know, you didn't disclose this problem to me. And so it's something that 10 years ago, you know, it wasn't really an issue. But in today's world, there's an expectation. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, well water issues are something that, you know, especially new homeowners who've never had an experience what well water can be, you know, it's something that you really need to pay attention to. And so we specialize also in fixing well water issues. You know, when you're in a well, you have your own pump, right? Well pump, right? You have a pressure tank that kind of helps that issue. A pressure tank designed for you to basically, you know, get up and use a little bit of water. Well, you've got water in that holding tank, right? Also helping providing pressure, but also providing, you know, the water so the pump always has to kick on and run.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, when the water comes in, you know, then you look at, well, how come I have orange staining? Well, you know, that's when we'll come out and do a test. And then we set up equipment that works within the well's parameters, okay? And so what that means is that we use a filter media that's light, that can remove the hardness, that can remove the iron, but also function properly within well water, because well water doesn't always have the same production rate or pressure as city water does.
Okay.
So those are the kind of issues that we focus on. So, you know, there's other companies out there, old school filter medias, that, you know, a water filtration media can be pretty heavy,
mm-hmm.
right? You have green sand or berm is a type of filter media used for, you know, iron in the water. And it's, you know, 50 to 75 pounds per cubic foot. So that's pretty heavy. So a water filtration control valve is not a pump, so it doesn't generate pressure. It sends water through a smaller hole to create the pressure. And in those kind of situations, when you have a single tank filtration system, what kind of water are they using to try to flush themselves or clean themselves with, right? Okay. The same dirty water, right? So that process in itself is flawed. So we like to come out and offer a different kind of solution. You know, we like putting on a dual tank water softener. Resin is designed to take hardness out. Resin is designed to take out, you know, ferrous iron or clear water iron. It's light, it lifts during backwash, and when you have two tank system, you can take clean water from one tank to back flush the other. So now you're cutting down on water usage.
Gotcha.
And then you're cutting down on the cleaner, which is water softening salt, because you're using clean water to rinse the filter media, so you're more effective. And then It eliminates long-term, you know, media replacement cost.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned from the realtor side. Let me ask you this. If someone, looking at a house with a well, and they just go, hey, look, they're the realtor. I want Water Pros to come out and do all this testing for me. I mean, so that's something that you guys can come out
and do that initial testing. Absolutely, yeah. And then what we also do is we facilitate testing through the state lab. So if they have like a government-sponsored loan, a GI Bill, right, they want to use, or, you know, an FHA loan, and then we can facilitate to meet, because the government-sponsored loans require a water test. Not all of them, but majority of them require water tests that make sure the water is, you know, potable, is drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we can help with that too. We use the state because the state's a third party. They're not interested in selling filtration equipment, right?
Sure.
So, I think it's unethical if you come into a company that tries to use a lab or say they have a lab or goes out and outsources it to a third party lab but puts it on their letterhead and then tries to use that to sell, you know, water filtration. It's almost like scaring people into it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a fine line there.
Right. So is well water, for what most of your clients tell you, I mean, most people say, man, it tastes a lot better than city water, or sometimes you just get different aftertaste with it.
Well, it's a mixed bag of nuts. For example, there's well water in Colorado that has high sodium content that, you know, it's not good to drink. It's not, you can't grow anything with it. So we also, you know, those systems, we're designing whole house reverse osmosis units that can eliminate the high, you know, you got high sulfate content. There's so many issues in well water.
Wow.
So in unique cases, a whole house RO is needed because, you know, there's limitations in what a water filtration, water softening system can do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another issue that can occur, and it's called high TDS or high total dissolved solids. And there's a case where we were looking at a water report where the EPA says anything that's over 500 on the total dissolved solids level is not safe to drink. The EPA also states that on their website, if you're on well water, you're on your own, right? So We saw one where the total dissolved solids number, TDS, was, you know, over 5,000. So that's a lot. And the sodium content was, you know, close to 1,500. So there's a different level between human consumption and livestock consumption.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
So livestock, cattle can handle, you know, 4,000 on up. You know, that's okay with them, horses.
Yeah.
You know, certain poultry, it's a little bit different. So, you know, the university, Colorado State University Agriculture Department, mm-hmm. you can contact them. They have a veterinarian service, and they can provide you documentation if you're concerned about, you know, my water sodium levels and what livestock can handle. And the publications they use, believe it or not, all come from Canada. So there, you know, there hasn't been a university here in the States that's really done an in-depth study. But, you know, Canada, you know, they've done research and come up with, you know, supporting levels. And, you know, millions of years ago, you know, we had water here in Colorado, right? And so that's why they got the Great Salt Lake in Utah. And so what's happened is that some wells, and because I think also because of the drought, you know, the high sodium content is an issue. And so, you know, it's called SARS, sodium absorption ratio. That's what the number that is going to talk about vegetation, plant growth. But that has nothing to do with human consumption. And so people, you know, don't want to get that mixed up because they're looking at it thinking, oh, gosh, is this dangerous for me? Well, it's really not. It may not taste good, but it doesn't mean it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So that's where you have to look at, you know, what the total dissolved solid number is, and that's all the dissolved solids in the water, because of point-of-use reverse osmosis system. Now, this is completely different. This is the one that goes underneath the sink, point-of-use. They're limited on how much TDS they can handle.
Okay.
And so they're normally good to, you know, a decent one can handle up to 1,500 to 2,000 total dissolved solids, but then that affects their production rate. When you get above that, that's when you really need to think about the whole house reverse osmosis system, because, you know, the point of use just isn't designed to handle a higher volume of TDS. Their sweet spot is, you know, between 500 to 700 total dissolved solids. And I know this is really technical.
No, but yeah, it's good education for us. Yeah.
But you know, the TDS number can also, you know, makes up everything. It can be sodium in the water, can be the hardness in the water, can be the iron in the water, can be the sulfate in the water. You know, there's just lead in the water. I mean, there's just a lot of factors. So if you go into the state of Colorado and for about $250, they'll test, you know, for pretty much everything on well water, and then we can help you interpret what those readings mean. But I think it's a good idea. And I do think, again, because of the drought that we've had, and hopefully we'll get more rain this summer, but I think, you know, the quality of water is definitely affected by that too.
Sure. Now, as far, you know, most of us, we don't call a plumber or someone like yourself till something's broken or not working. Are there things as far as from a maintenance side, if you say, hey, if you have well water, you should have us come out every what to just maintain so you don't run into those big, high, expensive problems?
So our appliances are not designed for super hard water anymore, right? They don't make well water appliances. Right, the city water appliances, meaning the wash machine and dishwasher, are just the same, you know, live in town or out in the country. So when you think about upgrading, you should really ask to see the warranty, because the warranty will spell out the water conditions. Okay. And so people don't think about that. What's the hardness range of operation? Do you guys remember about 7 years ago when they were talking about doing away with hot water heaters?
Mm-hmm.
Right, they wanted everybody to go to those InstaHot machines, which was not practical, but that's what they were going.
Right.
Well, then they came up with rules to make
it. Now, is that the tankless water heater?
Yeah, they want everybody to go with tankless hot water heaters. Yeah. So now, well, they came up with regulations that made the appliances use less water. So if you use less water, right, and then try to, you know, basically the pump aren't as big, right, in the water, and they want to cut down the water usage, so you're sending less amount of water through smaller holes to create the pressure. Well, that's when hard water and problem water can really affect them.
Okay.
And that's when we talked about, you know, doing the washcloth test. You know, take, if you don't have a water softener at home, you take bottled water, which is soft water, and, you know, rinse the clean washcloth to see all the trapped soap that's there, right? And that kind of gives you an idea. And the other thing that people, you know, can also do is pull the lid off the back of the holding tank of the toilet, and that'll show you exactly what's going on.
And should be clear.
Right. And you know, it can be orange and black and stain, and hard water, calcium carbonate, you know, it traps everything. And it just builds upon layers. And so well water can taste bad and smell bad because you can have sulfur, you can have iron content. People get a lot of iron buildup and it gets trapped in the aerators, and so they think they have sulfur or H2S, and it's really the iron content.
Wow, very interesting. It's Water Pros, 303-862-5554, waterpros.net. Paul Dowding is our guest. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today, 303-708-8050, or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Again, if you're just joining us, Paul Dowding is our guest. It's Water Pros, 303-862-5554. And they do handle about everything to do with water, and we'll touch on just kind of give you a bird's eye view of all they do, but we are kind of talking about well water today. So what do you find a lot of differences, say, you know, in the Castle Rock area to the plains out east? I mean, different issues, different problems?
Yeah, I always say Colorado water quality is a mixed bag of nuts. I mean, for example, Louisville, naturally soft water, right? It's just beautiful, naturally soft, and it's just gorgeous. Parts of Denver, you know, naturally, you know, almost naturally soft at 3 grains. You really don't need to worry about 3 grain water. I mean, it's, you know, easy. Then there's other parts where it gets really hard, 7, 9, 10, 15. Highlands Ranch has 3 different hardness areas. You know, that community out there.
Yeah, well, ours. Well, I know. I'm going to get you out because I'm sure I know our water is very hard. Now, when you say grains, and again, I realize it's technical, but what does that really mean?
So the measurement grains per gallon is solely for the purpose of water softening. It's a measurement used to make the right recommendation on size of the system, and then, you know, you set it based on the hardness level, so it determines how many gallons of water the system can clean before it needs to clean itself.
Okay.
So grains per gallon of hardness. So on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being really hard water where you see that instant calcification, you know, the majority of the metro area average, I think, is about a 9. You know, so you have communities, wow, you know, that can be 7 to 9. And then where you live, you know, that's over 10, mm-hmm, right? So, you know, that's what, you know, grains per gallon measurement are. A lot of testing companies measure water in what's called milligrams per liter, which is the same as parts per million. So you have to convert that to a grain per gallon, and you divide that by a factor of 17.1. And so some companies, some of our competitors, use that part per million or milligram per liter number because it's higher, right? So they think if I show them 250, it's like, wow, that's really hard water. But, you know, and that's just by their choice. But, you know, we use the grain per gallon measurement because, and I always tell people, you don't need to have a high number to have hard water.
Wow, interesting. All right, circling back, anything else on the well side you want to touch on?
I think, you know, last thing, you know, is I think if you're on a well, you should probably get your water tested every 2 years.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, take it to the state and you know, spend the money to get it tested because, again, it's your responsibility. You don't have an outside third-party agency, you know, that's going to monitor it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nitrates are something that you really, you know, are harmful, and I see those a little bit up north, you know, northeast of, you know, Fort Collins, you know, and there's a lot of dairy farms out there. And
sure.
So nitrates can be an issue. And you know, you have, you know, homes there and farms there that are no longer there and that used wells, and back in the day they didn't have you know, the policy that you know, mm-hmm, we do today to cap a well properly, so you can get, you know, contamination, you know, and so it's a good idea to always monitor your water from, you know, for just a safety standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's switch over to residential real quick, and a few minutes left here, but let's talk about just a regular call where people are coming out. I mean, are they calling you saying, hey, I think I got hard water, I know I got hard water? What are the calls? And when you answer the phone, people are asking you.
Yeah, anybody, they call us, they know they have hard water. They see the evidence build up on, you know, on the faucets, the shower heads, the shower, mm-hmm, door. And they see it mainly in the dishwasher, so they want to save their appliances. And so we come out, and that's when we do the water test. The water test basically shows them how hard the water is, but it also shows them how we set up and make the right system recommendation for them.
Okay. Once again, it's Water Pros, 303-862-5554, and it's waterpros.net. And what's kind of your main service area?
The Denver metro area.
Okay.
So, you know, we like to, you know, I'd like to, you know, your listening audience.
Sure.
You know, is okay. Where we
now
like
we
to go.
We go up to Casper, Wyoming, man.
Well, we'll go to Fort Collins for a road trip. We'll go
yeah.
to Fort Collins, you know, and we'll go up to Fort Collins and Loveland, and we'll go down to Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. you know. And I like to stay out of the, we'll go up to Evergreen, but, you know, not, you know, it just doesn't, it's not practical for us to go deeper and,
sure.
you know, to the mountains.
No, yeah, 100%.
You know, and
yeah.
we'll go out east to help out, you know, parts of Fort Lupton. I mean, that's a big town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so,
that's
you
really
know, cool. We'll go east I-70, I-76.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
And you know, the last thing is, water treatment isn't plug and play. And so the last thing I want to say, too, is make sure if you're buying filters or filter replacements, they're made here in North America. I just don't trust anything coming from Asia only because of the quality control. And your drinking water and drinking water filters are something you really should really pay attention to. Yeah. You don't want to take chance in any possible contamination or anything if you can't trust where they're made from. And so a lot of companies, you know, go for the cheaper aspect of, you know, purchasing, especially, you know, probably in today's economy. So I definitely recommend you make mm-hmm. sure they're made here in North America.
Yeah. And I would assume pretty vast difference of our current water soft. I mean, probably 22, 23 years old. So I'm sure there's a lot of difference in what was being made then to what's being made now.
And one thing you got to consider, too, is that, you know, when you get a system that old, fiberglass tanks don't last forever. Right, so the fiberglass tank has been under your city water pressure for how long, and so that you know they get to point the resin in a water softener has a general lifespan of 10 years, and when your system was installed, they were using straight chlorine, not a chloramine, so now they've added ammonia to the chlorine mixture, and then you know pay attention in on news reports because you know what it was a couple months ago, Inglewood had E. coli outbreak in their water, right, and so. In my home, I added an ultraviolet light filtration system to my whole house water after my water softener just because of bacteria and viruses, right? You know, I've got young kids at home living with me.
So what does that show you then when you turn the water on?
Well, what's going on is a UV light zaps and kills bacteria and viruses. Done. So if anything, you know, if anything happens for the municipality where they have a bacteria outbreak, I know that the ultraviolet light is going to kill the bug. It doesn't eliminate the bug. I mean, you got a dead bug in the water, but it's not going to hurt you, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
In addition, yeah. So, yeah, and so you think about that you got the working water, the water that you wash and bathe in, and mm-hmm. then you got that 1% for cooking and for drinking. So I use the ultraviolet light with reverse osmosis, and so I know that no matter what, you know, we're going to have good water.
Right. I don't know if this is a fair question, but as far as what's an average home? I mean, what's your average? Somebody wants to get a water softener put in their house. I mean, what are we looking at, ballpark?
$2,195 installed as our base
ballpark.
Water softener.
Oh, that's pretty good.
$2,195. $21.95. And we do offer discounts. You know, if the plumbing's easy, we're fair, right? If we can put it in, then we'll offer discounts. And so we're at $21.95. Our reverse osmosis drinking water filter systems are $900 installed. That's the point of use underneath the kitchen sink.
Okay.
And so if you have a well water where we know we have a dual tank, you know, situation or dual tank water softeners are, you know, a little bit more expensive. And so we like to basically design well water systems to the water and let the water tell us what's going on. So it's hard to give a number there.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Because you just don't know. But, you know, everyday water softening, if you live in town, $21.95.
Okay, man, great deal. It is waterpros.net, 303-862-5554. Again, 303-862-5554. When you call, mention Haystack Help.
Yeah, if they mention Haystack Help, we'll give them $200 off.
All right.
So
we appreciate that.
Mention
all
that, $200 off.
Quickest $200 you've saved today, all right? 303-862-5554, and it's waterpros.net. And again, we're going to Paul will be on quite a bit with us here, and so we're going to be covering all the things you ever needed to know and wanted to know about water. But if you've got any kind of system problem right now, water filtration. I hope you'll give Paul a call, give him a chance to earn your trust in your business. Once again, the number 303-862-5554. Paul, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Man, we are thrilled about our partnership with you, and I got to get on your schedule and get you out to our house and see what we can get figured out there.
We'll take good care of you.
I know you will, sir. Thank you very much. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
The physical injuries, emotional damage, and economic damages of your case should be accounted for, and sometimes that means going to trial. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law is willing to go to court for your personal injury case at no additional cost. Other personal injury attorneys will expect extra money when they take your case to trial. In some cases, they won't do the extra work at all. You deserve an attorney who will get you adequate compensation. He will do his best to get you the fair value of your case and will even take it to trial if necessary. Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law works on a contingency rather than a retainer. That means they get paid once you get the money and take the same percentage whether you take the money or not. Kevin Flesh wants more for you. Set up a free consultation with personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh to get the legal guidance you deserve. Call 303-806-8886. That's 303-806-8886.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Hey, before we get back to the show, I just want to take a minute and say a personal word about Stack Optical. I've been going to Allen for over 10 years, and it's with great confidence that I can say you should trust all of your optical needs to Stack Optical as well. Allen, which you've heard on our show many times, has been taking care of his customers since 1968, and yes, it's still family-owned and operated. So if it's time for your eye exam, I hope you'll call 303-321-1578 and get your eye exam scheduled. And folks, it's only $69. So go check out the great selection of frames. And since Stack Optical has their own on-site lab, you'll have your new glasses in just a couple of days. So for glasses, prescription sunglasses, contacts, and even repairs, go see Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. The number is 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. And at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Want to keep making your 30-year payment but own in 15 years? Want to be able to access your equity for future needs and not pay for it now? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been showing Coloradans how to own their home in less time without changing their 30-year payment. Home values are at the highest in their history. Take advantage of being able to access your equity for 10, 20, 30 years without making payments now. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Worried about inflation? Everything getting too expensive? Learn how to be able to access your equity without having to refinance and pay closing costs over and over and over. Do it once and you're good for 30 years. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Tired of paying too much interest to own your home? Stop. Learn how to lower your total interest cost, 720-895-0500. Locally owned and operated since 2001, and where it's all about you is not just our motto, it's who we are. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA.
Now's the time to get into the Outdoorsman's Attic. Their summer sale is in full swing. All fishing gear, 10 to 50% off. Tents, sleeping bags, and packs save 30%. 30% off all knives, Sitka clothing, 25% off. And if you're in the market for a gun safe, stop by the Outdoorsman's Attic. It's Colorado's largest outdoor consignment store, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. They've also got live bait, and if you haven't picked up your Colorado fishing or hunting licenses yet, they can help you there as well. If your firearm needs some work, head downstairs and see Scott the gunsmith. If you've got some hunting, fishing, and camping gear you're just not using anymore, stop by and see Billy, and he will explain their consignment program and how you can turn that gear into cash. Outdoor gear, guns, and ammo, all at the Outdoorsman's Attic, 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan.
This is KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Whatley, and we thank you for being with us. Your health does matter. And hey, we want to thank Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems, for bringing us this show each week. And we are glad to welcome Dr. Stedman to the airwaves. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Sometimes I wonder if there is such a thing. But hey, it's been a pretty nice sunshine and boy, beautiful weather. We're good, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. Doc, I've been noticing your post, and I sent you that yesterday on thyroid and your gut. And boy, I think a lot of times many of us don't think about those two connecting a little bit. So take just a minute and let's kind of introduce our segment this way today about how your thyroid can affect your gut health.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That's something that people don't really think about, but it's actually might be one of the more common things that we see. So the thyroid has, I'll back up. They talk about there's a thyroid-gut connection. So basically, if people with hypothyroidism will tend to have digestive issues, and we'll talk. Maybe I'll talk about that first. So we'll talk about that. So the thyroid plays a big role with digestion, and we've kind of talked about this in the past. How if you have hypo or low thyroid, how it's like turning down the volume of every cell. So everything is kind of running sluggish. And this is the exact same thing with digestive system. So your digestive tract runs sluggish. So the most common thing that we hear with hypothyroidism is constipation. Well, you're just not moving your bowels the way you should. Mm-hmm. So people get really backed up. They get a lot of gut pain. They get some bloating, because if you're not eliminating, then you're kind of producing more and more and more gas. So that bloating constipation is really common to see with people that have low thyroid. So that's kind of one. Well, and I'll give one more example. So we have the constipation, and then it's really interesting some of the research that's come out over the past, probably several years now, but looking at thyroid hormone and how much it plays a role with ulcers. So you actually use some of your thyroid hormone to heal the stomach ulcers. So if you're under a lot of stress, if you have these stomach ulcers, then thyroid hormone actually helps to heal them. They actually show that it decreases the length of ulcers. So it's a really cool concept that the thyroid has this massive role on how your gut functions.
Hmm.
But then the flip side to that story is that there's about 20% of conversion. So your thyroid produces T4, and then your body has to convert T4 to T3. And 20% of that conversion takes place in your digestive tract. And so you have to have good flora or a healthy gut in order to help with that conversion. So you can actually have thyroid symptoms that mimic or seem like you have low thyroid if you have an unhealthy gut.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, unless you're the one suffering with it all.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. So let me ask you this then. So do you mainly find this gut problem, thyroid connection through the blood work?
Sometimes you can get some little you can get some ideas.
Okay.
So when you look at like protein, for instance, on blood work, you have three different protein markers. You have total protein, and then albumin, and globulin. And a lot of times if you have some like gut issues, you can see some changes in those markers. They're kind of in the functional medicine range, but you can see some alterations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of times if somebody comes in and they say, oh, I have, you know, constipation, bloating, you know, and then they start listing off all the thyroid symptoms and you run blood work and you go, huh, yeah, your thyroid's off. And then some of these digestive markers seem a little bit off, or even electrolytes, because you got to like break down your electrolytes and vitamins, things like that too. So if all of a sudden you go, man, it just doesn't look like you're breaking down things very well. I wonder if your gut's kind of a mess. Maybe that's what's causing it. Then that's when we start looking at T4. And then we look at T3 and we go, hey, are you getting all of your T4 all the way to T3?
Right.
Because if you have low T3 but normal T4, well, where's that going to take place? And there's a couple different areas in the body, but you know, if somebody's like, oh, I got gas and bloating and, you know, on and on and on, you're like, well, maybe your gut is actually kind of throwing things off.
Well, very interesting. Dr. Shane Steadman's our guest, and you're listening to Your Health Matters. So how do you go about the treatment process then? Can you treat the thyroid and the gut at the same time, or do you have to get the gut right to get the thyroid right, or vice versa? How do you go about that?
You know, I think this is what kind of makes sometimes your different types of functional medicine kind of everybody a little bit different. You know, my viewpoint is I think you should go after it all together, because if there is an interconnection, then you can't just work on one and then the other. You know, so what's really cool is on the thyroid side, you know, there's things that we can do to support the thyroid, or, you know, maybe the thyroid, somebody needs medication for it. But there's actually supplements that actually help to support like T4 to T3 conversion. So if we can support that system and say, okay, let's make sure the system is working well. And then on the gut side of things, you know, we say, okay, let's clean up your diet. You know, there's different herbs that can help with, you know, constipation and motility. You know, so let's get your bowels moving. Let's get the leaky gut under control. Let's get the gas and bloating down. You know, let's give you some like good bacteria. You know, we can start putting things together and putting a regimen together that gets the digestive system working while we're supporting the thyroid. And now we get the two systems almost kind of communicating again. And if we can get them communicating, you know, then at some point we have to say, well, you don't need any support because now you can do it all by yourself. And that becomes the goal. But definitely there's things that you can do for both. And I think working on both systems at the same time will get us to our, you know, get us to our end goal quicker.
Sure. So besides the constipation, let's just take the gut right now. How will people know then if they've got possible gut issues?
Most of the common symptoms are usually kind of some kind of like reflux, gas, bloating, indigestion, or constipation. That's kind of how you know. There's kind of the symptom approach. You could go deeper into lab testing, and you'll do something like stool. So you could do like a stool test, and what the stool test would tell you is like, do you have inflammation in your gut? You know, how are the bacteria, flora? You know, are they balanced? Or are they out of balance? You know, do you have other things like candida overgrowth? Do you have a parasite? You know, are there some other things in your digestive tract? So usually you kind of start off with symptoms, and then based on those symptoms, go, do I need to dive more into testing, or should we just work on the symptoms first?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times the history kind of starts to guide you. You know, if somebody says, oh, I went to another country, you know, and ever since then, you know, I have gas and bloating, my hair is falling out, and my eyebrows are getting thin. You go, oh, okay, well, that would be maybe a gut causing a thyroid issue, you know? So
right.
Maybe you picked up a bug, it threw off your gut, threw off the flora, now everything's just out of whack. Okay, that could be now leading to all these other domino effects. That makes sense. Ever since my trip, I've never been the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how we started.
Right. Now, one thing I was reading, it talked about stress, and you were talking about the thyroid produces T4, the body then converts to T3, but this article I was reading says when we're stressed, we produce more cortisol, which may also reduce the amount of T3 that we get. Is that true?
Absolutely. So, yeah, so besides the digestive tract, there are a couple other places for conversion. So when the thyroid makes T4, the T4 is not active. So your body has to convert it into an active form, which is T3. So really, if you want to see if everything is working all the way to the end of the, you know, downstream, we have to look at T3, which I mean, nobody, there's not a lot of docs that actually look at that, which is kind of bizarre, but but we have to look at T3. So if T4 is normal and the T3 is low, then we have to ask ourselves why. And that's where we start saying, okay, where are all the places in which that conversion takes place? Now, 60% of it takes place in the liver, and 20% of it takes place in the gut. So right there, that's 80% is in the liver and then the gut. And what's interesting about the liver, well, we can say both the liver and the gut too, is how much cortisol, the stress hormone, plays on that. Because if you have a lot of stress, the stress will decrease and kind of stop that conversion of the thyroid hormone, but mm-hmm. it kind of impacts the liver. But at the same token, we also know that stress impacts our digestive tract. So, I mean, how many people get stressed out and then they have all these digestive issues? Yeah. You know, so definitely I would say that probably, and there's actually another major cause of underconversion is what they call it is estrogen. So whenever we look at T4 to T3 conversion, usually the top four things we look at is stress, liver, digestion, and estrogen. And those are the four major things that will impact the conversion.
Now, is there any correlation with age? As we get older, maybe our body stops converting it as well? Or do you see it sometimes in younger people as well that stops converting?
Yeah, I would say we probably most often see it in younger people. I mean, in older people, you can see that. Just because, you know, as people get older, their digestive tract isn't as, like, healthy. The flora, you know, the gut bacteria is not as abundant or balanced as it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, so you kind of see that a lot with, you know, your older generation, that they're always taking like Tums, or, you know, they have, you know, different medications can also throw off your gut too. But you definitely see a lot more in the younger population, for sure. And I would say a lot of it's probably due to like stress. There's definitely some talks around like birth control. You know, maybe you're drinking too much during the pandemic, you know, all these little things that can impact, you know, your system, you know, and definitely I think with stress being a big player in that, that can really impact like how well your body converts. And I would say, you know, most of the people that come into the office and most of our demographics is kind of in that 30-year-old range,
right?
You know, so definitely you see a lot more with the younger generation than older.
Sure. Once again, you're listening to Your Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. Dr. Stedman's been kind enough to offer our listeners an initial free consultation. So, hey, if this is something that you've been dealing with, give them a call and get in and see them, and they will try to get you on a good and healthy path. Now, someone knew I was going to have you on today, and they sent me a text, and they're asking about gallbladder real quick. I don't know how this fits into this, but so many times doctors will say, oh, need to take your gallbladder out. How quick should people be able to jump in to do that? Or do you try to hang all that gallbladder as long as possible? What advice would you have for people?
I'm a fan of trying to hold on to the gallbladder as long as possible. You know, I think that for me is first and foremost, where I know there's definitely another school of thought that says, well, you can deal without it, so just take it out. There's one less thing to worry about. So I always find it fascinating that they can always seem to get people in really fast for gallbladder surgery.
I know, it does. Yeah, I agree.
You have back surgery and it's like 5 to 6 months out, but gallbladder surgery, we have it tomorrow.
Sure.
It's kind of like everything, you know, that we talk about on the show and we try to tell all the listeners is that there always has to be a cause for everything. So if your gallbladder is not working, then the question should be why. Just taking it out doesn't fix the cause. You know, and actually, it's really interesting because anytime somebody has had their gallbladder taken out, the two questions I always look into or ask is, one, do you have high estrogen or some kind of hormonal issue that's related to estrogen, or do you have hypothyroidism? Because those tend to be the two more common reasons that affects the gallbladder that has to be taken out. And so when we talked about like thyroid earlier, when you have low thyroid and everything is low functioning, that includes your gallbladder. So you can actually have sluggishness, or they call it like stagnant, you know, flow of the gallbladder. So the bile isn't moving as well as it should through there. So now you get this stagnant, kind of clogged up, so to speak, you know, gallbladder that can actually start forming stones. you know, and that can be from the thyroid too. So if somebody has their gallbladder taken out and nobody's talked about the why, that should become like the next piece is like, do you have low thyroid? Do you have estrogen issues? Do you have something else that's causing that? You know, and there is a time where people need their gallbladder taken out, because if you have a wicked stone, you know, or it's just not working anymore, you know, and it's causing you all of these issues that are chronic and you can't get rid of them, you know, it'd probably be good. But the gallbladder helps you to break down, you know, fat, and it's also part of your detoxification system. So it tries to emulsify or kind of break things down so you can eliminate it. So that's your long answer.
No, that's great information. So where do probiotics come into all this? We hear prebiotics, probiotics, all of that. How does that fit into our gut health?
Well, and that's kind of what they're talking about is that that actually the probiotic or your micro, well, I'll throw some terms. So you have a term called microbiome, and microbiome is kind of the fancy term for your gut bacteria. So they're kind of now starting to look at the bacteria overall and saying, okay, what are the different species of bacteria do? How many do we have? And are they all balanced together? So that's your microbiome. Now your flora, it kind of refers to the bacteria itself and kind of looking at just the grouping of it, so to speak. But I think you're hearing more people talk about the microbiome now versus flora. So we talk about like probiotics. So pro is kind of like is supportive. So usually a probiotic tends to be more of like actually giving you like strains of bacteria that are naturally in your gut so we can try to balance and repopulate the digestive tract. Then you have like prebiotics. And prebiotics are things that help to kind of feed your gut. So there's certain things like inulin or arabinogalactose, you know, or galactans that actually help to feed. So all those bugs, they like to feed on things. And this is why vegetables and leafy things are important, because your bacteria likes, they need to feed on stuff. You know, so there's prebiotics that help them. There's probiotics, which are the bacteria, and there's actually something called postbiotics, which are things to help kind of like lower down the track. But where that comes in with the thyroid is that there's a couple enzymes called like acetylase and sulfur, like sulfatase. Those are enzymes that are released by the bacteria. And so if you have a healthy bacterial microbiome system in your gut, then they can utilize these enzymes to help convert T4 to T3. So when you ask that question, it's huge. So if we say, well, what are all the things that impact the flora in the microbiome? Well, stress will definitely affect them. Like what you eat and how you eat will affect them. But what about antibiotics? You know, so what if somebody was on antibiotics for a long, long, long time? How does that impact the gut? Well, it definitely has to, because you've been killing off bacteria. And then the question is like, well, how does that affect, or could it affect the thyroid? And it could definitely affect it. So as you're like walking through somebody's history and trying to figure out what's going on with them, you know, I had a patient maybe 4 months ago that they were literally on antibiotics for 12 years straight because no one ever took them off of it. And they kept refilling and refilling and refilling. And so the family is like, well, I guess this was helping her. So they just 12 years of antibiotics. Wow. So I was like, I guess the first thing I got to do is I got to work on your gut, because you've been like killing bacteria for the past 12 years. And so, you know, we've had to work on reestablishing the microbiome, and it finally, like, things are starting to come along. But, you know, could antibiotics lead to what seems like hypothyroid? Absolutely. And I think if you kind of understand the mechanisms and the why, you can really make a case for it.
Right. So should a probiotic be a part of everyone's supplemental things daily, or not unless you need it?
Yeah, there's definitely different thoughts on that. There's some newer thoughts on that. I would say here's what I think. Obviously, you're asking me, but I'll give you the different opinions. I think probiotics can be really beneficial, and I think for a lot of patients, they can be supportive. But what they're finding in the research is that actually, so we're looking at this term of the microbiome, because if you just take like this one supplement that has 4 strains in it, right, and you took that same supplement for 4 or 5 years, well, all you did was populate that one or those four species. But there's like thousands of species. So how do you support the other ones? You know, because like if you go to, you know, all your natural food stores, they don't have all the different strains. They just have like, this company has three strains. This one has five strains. This one has like the greatest strains in the world. You know, like they all have their little like cool things that they talk about. But the fact of the matter is that we have thousands of strains. So how do we support them? And this is kind of what they're talking about in the research now, is that it's actually better to eat a diversity of food with different fibers. So if you have these different types of fibers, they feed the different bugs, and that's what actually can make it healthy. And so there's kind of this shift away from probiotics being like the only, you know, that it should be something that's in your everyday routine. Because if you're eating healthy and different fibers and different veggies, then all of the bacteria are being supported, not just the four in a capsule that you take every single day.
Right. Last few minutes here, but should we be wary of saying, okay, if we fix your gut, we'll fix your thyroid?
I mean, definitely, because I think what a lot of people don't know, and if we stop and talk about it, it'll make sense at the end of this little like conversation, but you can have multiple causes. You know, so I think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I just, you know, take some probiotics, fix my gut, and everything will be great. Well, that's awesome, but what if you have a gut issue and a hormone issue? What if you have a gut issue and a liver issue? What if you have a gut issue and you're going through a divorce? You know, like there's usually when people come in, I think what makes some cases really hard is that there's multiple things going on. And I think those really awesome home run where they, you know, they're like, you guys are the best. You know, yeah, those are the people that you fix their gut and then everything just turns back on and life is hunky-dory and you never see them again and off into the sunset they ride.
Right.
And that's, I would say, probably a small percentage, because usually if your gut's off, there's other things going on.
And, you know, Dr. Stedman, and I'm sure you see this on a daily basis where people are just so frustrated with our medical system, I guess I'll call it, with just a regular primary care docs, because they just don't take the time to look into all these different things that you do. And, you know, functional medicine does. So, I mean, do you find so many people are like on their last leg, so to speak, when they get to you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even like it was two patients before the, you know, before, you know, we're doing the show, you know, and she was just like, well, if you don't figure it out, I don't know where to go, because you're like my last hope, you know. So maybe I should be Dr. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, but that, I hear that all the time. Like, I don't know where else to go. You know, because I think when it comes to the thyroid, you know, there's too many doctors that just run TSH and they don't look at T3 and T4, or they run a TSH, T4, and they don't look at T3. You know, so you're like running limited values, and then you're trying to develop a treatment plan around these limited values. And I think the system just doesn't allow for people to sit down and go through a history like they would. And I think a lot of doctors would like to, but I don't think they're allowed that opportunity. So they never get to those core issues. And so they have to make some really quick decisions. And a quick decision is, here's a thyroid medication. Let's see how you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I saw a report yesterday real quick and ask you about, and it said that type 2 diabetes in teens has doubled over the last 10 years. Are you seeing that in your practice?
I haven't seen that in my practice, but I know it's out there, and those kind of reports and journals have been coming out a lot over the past 10, probably since I started in practice. I would say that's something that I keep hearing over and over and over again, like the percentage and the amount of like obesity has definitely gone up in the younger generation. And
right.
I think, you know, if you look at, you know, the lack of movement, video games, you don't see a lot of kids outside. And then you look at what a lot of the kids are eating, from, you know, flaming hot, you know, snacks to soda drinks, you know, that are, you know, you just can't consume that many calories that are unhealthy without like movement.
Yeah.
You know, not that you should do it anyways, but if you're not moving to burn off those calories and you're just drinking empty calories, that's just not conducive to a healthy lifestyle.
Right. Hey, one quick question back on our probiotics and prebiotics, postbiotics. there seems to be, you go in all these different stores, and man, there are shelves and shelves of vitamins, all these different things. Should we be careful of just picking up some brand and taking it without, I mean, none of us are going to understand the ingredients ever. I mean, just, are there some dangers in just some of the stuff that could be on the shelves?
I think probably not necessarily danger, just more of like effectiveness.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I will look at, you know, supplements as I'm like walking in a store and I'm like, oh, I wonder what this is, what this has in it. You know, and sometimes these supplements, they just don't have very much of that ingredient.
Right.
You know, and people don't know that. They don't know what a therapeutic dose, you know, is. You know, even like probiotics, you know, some of these probiotics, they just don't have that many strains. And if you, you know, reading some of the research, if you want to like make a change in the system, you have to get up to like 100 billion, you know. And so you might have something that has like 50 million. I'm like, oh my gosh, you would have to take like 20 of these a day to make a change. You know, but people don't know that. And so I don't think there's a danger. It's just like, are you spending money where it's not going to be beneficial? Mm-hmm. Are you not taking enough to make it beneficial? You know, or sometimes the inactive ingredients aren't so amazing. You know, like the actual product itself is fine, but then you look at the inactive ingredients and you're like, why did they put that in there?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, if it says inactive, yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, there's certain times I'm like shaking my head, going like, that's a weird ingredient to put in that. But, you know, some of it might be stabilizing or making the shelf stable or, you know, things like that. But again, you know, I think if you don't know, that's why it's always good to like, you know, go with somebody like a functional medicine person that understands supplements and how they work and behind the scenes. And you know, there's a lot more to it than mm-hmm. just picking something off the shelf and hoping it works.
Yeah. Real quick in the last few seconds, but I was talking with a guy the other day, and he said, man, if there's one area that insurance, our health insurance, should cover 100% with no deductible, it should be functional medicine, to find out the reason why and how much would that save the insurance companies, but then how much would it cost the pharmaceuticals companies, surgicals, you know, surgeons, all that, right?
Yeah, there's definitely an interesting thought in, you know, the small circles people think that way. Because the same thing you see sometimes in chiropractic is like if people saw a chiropractor, would they need as many back surgeries as possible?
Yeah.
You know, and if you didn't have as many back surgeries, then how would that impact the system? You know, so it's same thing with functional medicine. I mean, if a lot more people went to functional medicine and you could, like, you know, fix an issue, when would they need as many drugs and how would that impact our, mm-hmm. you know, our big industries? Be interesting.
I know. Well, Dr. Stedman, hey, I know you're busy, man. I appreciate you and Dr. Maynard taking time each week to be with us here, and we appreciate it very much, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, bud. Have a good rest of your week.
Yeah, you too.
That is Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. Give him a call. Hey, if you haven't been able to find the answers you've been looking for to feeling better, give him a call. We've been seeing Dr. Stedman for many, many years, and I promise you they will find an answer for you. All right, 303-781-5617.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.